Congratulations, you've won the podcast jackpot. You have stumbled on to our podcast. Welcome to Can I Keep You? A podcast for you, by you, brought to you by the Devon Sawa Appreciation Society. I'm your host, Allie, and my cohort is...
I'm Lan.
And we're basically your average millennials who survived crush culture. And now we're going to make it your problem.
Yeah, I think we're kind of like ultimate, but elder millennials, just because we're like right above the center line of the mid area. So we're kind of the most millennials, which means we have the most 90s crushes, I think. I think that's accurate.
Yeah. Well, I feel like by virtue of being born in the later 1980s and being children in the 90s and preteens in the 90s into the turn of the millennium teenager situation, we're probably elder millennials. Like, I still part my hair on the side. You can pry my skinny jeans from my cold, dead hands. So, if that's your vibe, welcome.
Yeah.
So, first and foremost, we are very sorry, Devon Sawa.
Oh my goodness, we're so, so sorry, Mr. Sawa.
Yeah, we fully respect you as a human being and as an actor.
A husband and a father.
We're about to shamelessly objectify you. So our deepest apologies, but you were our film crush for our formative years. So really, is it our fault?
I don't think so. This is how we were raised. This is how all our sexual awakenings happened in the 90s. A pretty guy with blonde hair walked onto the camera and we're like, what is this?
Oh my God, it's so true.
You're so into blondes in the 90s. I was thinking that, like, weren't we also like really into Australia in the early 90s?
Yeah, maybe. I feel like there's some kind of pipeline between the Swayze years of the like 80s into the like 90s teen boy heartthrob Devon Sawa, Leonardo DiCaprio, some kind of center parted mushroom cut situation happening. But I also feel like we can't dissuade the power of Christian Slater in Heathers through to like Will Scarlet in Robin Hood. For we're talking, it's specifically the haircut that I'm talking about. The mushroom cut curtain bangs, I guess, whatever curtains they call it in the UK, where it's like,
yeah.
Anyways, yeah. It's a very specific haircut. It defined the era. And Devon Sawa definitely had it in many movies.
Yes, and in many, many, many magazines.
So many magazines, you would not believe.
And though he claims that Canada was not affected the same way by like the magazines and all that, I don't know. Maybe it's just Vancouver. They're like, you're from here, we have to have some chill. Because like so many girls, I mention it online, and this is how this all came about, is like I would unapologetically post about Devon Sawa, which now we will apologize because we're going to be doing this so much.
Yeah.
But so many people would respond, just being like, oh my God, Devon Sawa, Casper, Now and Then, Wild America, which I've never seen. Sorry, Devon Sawa.
Idle Hands, Final Destination. These were later films, but he still had the vibe, and he moved on to the like late 90s, early 2000s ski jump sort of Caesar haircut that was very defining of the era.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just kept going. It just kept going. It was a whole thing. But yeah, crush culture was like magazines, posters in your lockers. I considered it to be a small town, but I guess it's not that small. And I would always get like these when we'd go visit my like grandma in Victoria. We're Canadian, by the way. So this is like a very Canadian, specifically British Columbian perspective on this whole situation. But like we'd go to Victoria and like I would get all these like magazines at the mall or things that I just couldn't get at home, and I would like stockpile them and read them very slowly so that I could
again
be like
and again and again.
Because we didn't have what you Gen Zers and whippersnappers and such have today, where you could just go on the internet and go to like Just Jared or just whatever, any kind of fan site, TikTok, Instagram, interact directly with the people that you were like, wow, about. Like we had to do this old school magazines, fan letters.
Call in lines where you call in and it's like a pre-recorded message or something.
Or like movie surfers bumpers between Disney Channel originals and shit. Like, you
Oh
know.
my gosh. And that just makes me think of like I was just telling one of my neighbors that we love covering our walls in things. I guess it's called cluttercore or maximalism now, but really I think it just comes from us growing up in the 90s and like kids magazines, they're cool. Well, kids were so cool in the 90s. Like that's literally what capitalism was selling at the time. And so we just like cover our walls in magazine clippings, anywhere from like Leonardo DiCaprio to Catherine Zeta-Jones. I definitely had, I think, a Maxim spread.
Think of what I had because, like, so many of my friends were deep in the boy band era. So, recently they put out a movie called Turning Red that is basically a snapshot of what it was like to be like a teen, preteen in that sort of turn of the millennium era where you were like, oh my god, boy bands! Like, you were into NSYNC or you were into Backstreet Boys. Maybe some people were into 98 Degrees. I've never been sure. But it was like you had posters on your walls, or you had like Britney on your walls, and Christina, or the Spice Girls, or whatever. But I very specifically like cut out like aspirational items from these magazines. Like I would be cutting up Candies ads of shoes that I want, the fucking blow up chairs from the Delia's catalog, or whatever. P.S. There will be cursing. If that offends
Oh,
you, this is the
yes.
wrong place for
I'm sorry, Dad. I
you.
know you're listening.
We got some West Coast trucker vibes. It's fine. It's fine.
My husband's from Alberta,
Ah!
and so he's like, no, you guys, you're like hillbillies. Like you're not rednecks. You have hillbilly vibes. Like you are strange because you live in the woods and you guys are on an island. And yeah, whatever. I live in a port town. There are sailors.
I grew up in a town where fishing was huge. People were on boats. The word fuck happens. It's extremely useful.
And
But that
versatile.
is not what this is about.
No, that was just a warning. This episode will be many, many warnings.
So many warnings. Like, basically, just we're gonna put red flags in the episode description because we can't be trusted, honestly. But now it's such a weird position to be reining this all in because usually I appear on a different podcast talking about different nerdy things, and there's like a host who gently steers me back to the core of the conversation, but now I have to do that.
Before you do that, I will admit when I've listened to your episodes on wasting your time, I'm just like, oh, I would just keep talking on that tangent though.
Right?
Like, that's why we're doing this.
Shout out to Wasting Your Time with John Wilson, which is a fabulous podcast that I have been lucky enough to be on enough times to inspire me to try this myself about something completely different. And shout out to John Wilson specifically as the host for having endless patience with my shenanigans. Yeah.
I recommend Allie Wants to Talk About Romeo Plus Juliet, I think is the episode.
That I believe so, yeah, or Baz Luhrmann's Romeo plus Juliet, and he just lets me go off for like 30 minutes
Yeah,
about
he like
how
watched the
much.
two scenes you sent him.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm gonna talk about it, and I'm gonna talk about the soundtrack. It's gonna be a whole thing. Oh, speaking of soundtracks, and Now and Then specifically, it was also the era of excellent movie soundtracks, so they could sell you something else in addition to movie tickets and the eventual home video release.
And we were in such like this post grunge for most of the 90s, and like also a throwback to some more like your dad listened to this. Not my dad. My dad was listening to like grunge and stuff because he was so young. But so many like nostalgia coming of age movies came out in the 90s is insane.
We could do like a whole month on coming of age films, I'm pretty sure. Like a
Oh my
whole month's
gosh.
worth of episodes just on coming of age movies. But yeah, so primarily, Once Upon a Time. When we were much younger humans, we worked together at a little place that you might know, McDonald's, where we met and bonded over our weirdness.
We fueled our each other's like excited nerdness.
Yeah, we fangirled the hell out, whilst also attempting to give them their orders in a certain window of time that still to this day boggles my mind, even having done it.
Do you remember when they put timers on the tills?
Yep.
Yeah, you had to like, oh gosh, do this many orders in 60 seconds. We can talk about fast food culture in the 90s too.
Right? Speaking of McDonald's and pizza together, where is the fucking McPizza? Why aren't you capitalizing on this nostalgia? I just need to know. I want a McPizza, I want to read a Tiger Beat, and then I want to watch Now and Then. Thank you.
And don't worry, we will be talking about Now and Then a lot eventually.
Yeah, because, the Devon Sawa Christina Ricci conjunction is strong.
And I have so much to say about Thora Birch and Gabby Hoffman too.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
So
yeah.
much. And Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser. We love Brendan Fraser. We support the Renaissance on this podcast. We definitely support the Renaissance.
So much.
But anyways, one of the things that like rebonded us in recent years was Devon Sawa basically announcing himself on Instagram as a thirst trap. Congratulations, sir, on your glow up, as the kids would say. Do the kids say that? I don't know.
I think they did. I think we're aging ourselves.
I don't know. I'm like, you won, sir. You won all the prize. I'm gonna say right now, like, it's not often like a 90s teen heartthrob shows up later on and is like a full ass smoke show and still good at acting.
Yeah, I think a lot of those blonde baby face guys stay baby face and they just look like man babies when they're older. He just looks like a man baby.
We're mostly doing this for your own for our amusement, and you're just along for the ride. Just congrats.
You're welcome.
Sure. I
I want to ask you a question.
think
When did you recently go like, oh, Devon Sawa? Was it when I was like posting about him when or before?
So I was really heavily into the CW before I stopped having cable. And the CW was very clever with programming. They would put a show on that you want to watch, and then afterwards, like a show that you would probably just leave on if you saw it. And I also had this huge thing for the actor Aaron Stanford, who played Pyro in X-Men 2.
Okay.
And I believe he was on Nikita with Shane West and Maggie Q.
Shane West.
Right? And then all of a sudden, surprise, Devon Sawa. And I was like, I'm sorry? That looks like a familiar person to me. And then I Googled it and I was like, oh my God, I was right. That, wow. Wow. Okay. And then he was on Twitter and I was like, I really love this character. And I tagged him in a tweet. He tweeted me back and he was like, you're really gonna love these other episodes, so keep watching. And I was like, oh my God, he's gonna be on the show more. And so I did. Then I stopped having cable and I had to be very choosy about what I wanted to get seasons of on iTunes. And unfortunately, Nikita didn't make the cut, though I do understand that he is in quite a number of episodes later on.
I think he became a series regular for a season or two. I haven't watched any of it, but it is on our list. Like in this thing, you guys will get to listen to us talk about all the movies we watched and all the movies and TV shows we haven't seen. Because right before we did this, I realized I've only seen four things that he's done, but he still made a really big impact.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're just like, wow.
Yeah. Mine was, I think, more recent than that.
Was it the picture from Gasoline Alley where he's smoking and he has tattoos?
That was really what birthed this podcast. Like I said, sir, this is almost too hot. And one of my friends replied, like, almost? This, are you serious? No, I was pregnant. He was on Real Detective, not True Detective. I don't know. Everyone was really excited about one show. This is a different show.
Yeah, True Detective was the HBO one that had Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. Hey.
I mean, I didn't know they were in that, but that actually kind of makes me want to watch it.
First season is Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey. Second season is Rachel McAdams, and he's Irish. His name is Colin Farrell.
Ah.
And then the third season is Mahershala Ali and I can never remember who his compatriot is, but Ray Fisher is in it, who I also love, who played Cyborg in Justice League.
Mm.
Is excellent. I've heard they're going to be making another True Detective, but I don't know. So,
well, this one's called Real Detective, and I think it's a Canadian show. Well, at least it's made in Canada. Like, literally all television is, guys. Seriously, if you watch an American show that is a science fiction show, maybe a procedural, something like that, it was filmed here.
Any of the DC television series is.
Yeah.
Vancouver is Central City and Starling City and Metropolis and Smallville. I mean, it was always Smallville, which we should probably talk about Tom Welling at some point, mm-hmm. maybe, like a little bit.
And his cameo on Supergirl.
Do you want to talk about Tom Welling and Brendan Fraser together? Because they did have a project recently that I haven't watched yet, but I'm very excited about, and we are going on a tangent.
Yay! Oh, so.
Yes.
Real Detective.
Real Detective.
There's like a detective who's being the talking head, and they're telling the story of either their biggest case or their hardest case. So it's like, it's a really emotional show for sure. It's like not your traditional reenactments, but it's sort of like they like filmed a TV show episode that's like, it's so high quality, because I don't like reenactments, but they did this show, and then this guy who is a super hot grumpy detective showed up, and I was just sitting there and I'm like, is that Devin Sawa? That's Devin Sawa. After the Real Detective, I went on Twitter, and his pinned tweet was him dancing with his daughter. And pregnancy being what it is, you get really weird dreams. We had a bit of a stressful pregnancy, and I kept having dreams. If I got stressed out, I would just go over, sit on Devin Sawa's lap, and he'd just hug me. And so that became my like cozy thing in my dreams. Like, it's okay, I'll just go get Devin Sawa to hold me. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, also, like, you know, you tweet him something cheeky or nice or whatever, and he's just like a really good sport as long as you're not a total jerk. Like, that guy definitely has like very clear boundaries online, and that he deserves them.
Yeah. He's been in the spotlight since he was a child, essentially. It's true. Going back to the True Detective tangent, to my undying shame, speaking of 90s hotties, season 3 with Mahershala Ali is Stephen Dorff. That's who I forgot. Stephen Dorff. Deacon Frost himself. But yeah, I mean, it's so interesting to me, like, when someone who is, like, I guess a child actor, and when they come back and they're like, wow, like, they're still really good at the job, and they're very entertaining to watch, and super compelling, and they make interesting choices, and you're like, okay, cool. I guess we've really seen it kind of more with actresses from that were kids, mm-hmm. like recently, like Anna Chomsky from My Girl is mm-hmm. now acting again. I think she was on Veep, or Inventing Anna, I think is what she's in now, where she plays like a journalist, but she's back. And didn't Gabby Hoffman also recently do something?
I think she did.
But yeah, like Mayim Bialik is kind of the prime example, where she went off and she had like a whole other lifetime as a neuroscientist and stopped being like a child star or whatever. And then she came back and she's still like hilarious. And I think she's even directing films now. I thought I read that she's directing projects.
Yeah, I remember when they started that show, everyone was like, is Mayim Bialik? And oh no, what's her name?
What was she in?
The Wonder Years, Danica
McKellar.
Yeah.
The math lady. She's super. And I think she's also acting in like Hallmark movies now too. So I guess it was a little bit refreshing to see like a dude do it, mm-hmm. because so many times they disappear from the spotlight for reasons that are completely legitimate, and sometimes reasons that are not of their own choosing, like joining a cult or something. But then to come back and to still be basically like kicking ass and taking it again, good for him. Good for him. And now that's we awesome. All get to enjoy it.
Just to be clear, Devin Sawa did not leave to be in a cult. He left to be a real estate agent. I don't know. He wasn't a real estate agent. He owned real estate. Oh, crud. He was people's landlord. Can you imagine that, living in Vancouver and being like, Casper's my landlord?
I'd be like,
Oh yeah, I'd be so happy. I'd be stressful. I'd be like, I'm so confused about our relationship.
I would be asking him so many impertinent questions like, can you please tell me, is the Casper House a real house? And is it the same place that they filmed the Backstreet Boys Backstreet's Back video? Because I'm pretty sure it was.
Yes, I believe that's true, but I can't, it was a set and they destroyed it all. Yeah.
Oh man.
I know. I mean, it's right up there with, I was going to talk about this later, but like, it's right up there with Practical Magic House I wish I lived in.
Oh, the Practical, the freaking, okay, that was filmed on an island in the Pacific Northwest, and they only built the outside for exterior shots, and then all of the inside was built on a soundstage, and I feel so fucking deceived. I feel so absolutely just deceived. And I'm like, why can't I remember the name Owens, the Owens family? We all want to run off and live our best witchy lives in the Pacific Northwest on an island that is supposedly Massachusetts, but definitely, definitely is not. But we can't because it's not a real place. The island is a real place, but the house is not. The house is not. The kitchen is not a real kitchen.
Movies lie.
Right? The garden room.
The attic.
No, there are no midnight margaritas in adult life unless you make them for yourself. Sorry.
That is true.
Sorry.
It's the upsetting reality of adulthood.
Right? I'm like, I don't even like margaritas, but if somebody was like, midnight margaritas, I'd be like, I'm so down. Let me get my sweater. Let me get my sweater. But this is what we mean. Like, our entire adolescence and teenage years were hella shaped by the media that we consumed. Because it was consumed in such a different way than it is now. Like, there was no binging. There was no on-demand movies. And yeah, okay, I sound like a freaking old dinosaur when I say that. And not in the awesome, like, T-Rex saving the day kind of way. Like, the actual, like, when I was a young person, I watched movies on VHS that I rented from a video store.
I got all my information about this celebrity I liked from 3 pictures and 2 paragraphs on an Angel Fire website.
Oh, no. Yeah, we are elder millennials. That's an elder millennial hour.
Yeah.
Have we inducted ourselves into Grandma Core yet or no?
Oh my gosh.
No, and I'm like, we like lived off those 2 paragraphs for 7 months until they popped up in a new project and you could get fucking trading cards for the movie and you saw the poster show up at your local theater and you were like, oh my god, it's my fave. I didn't even know this was coming. And then you had to wait 3 more months for the actual fucking movie to show up. And then it was only there for a week, so you absolutely had to go.
And then it was like a year before it came out for home video.
Yeah, VHS production. Whew.
Yes.
And sometimes if you were lucky, you could go to the Blockbuster to the shitty direct-to-video section and find something that was made like 2 years prior that you'd never even heard of, that never got a theatrical release, but still had your fave in it. So you watched it, even if it was the worst movie you've ever seen. And I'm not talking about Devon Sawa in this particular instance. This is just like a full vibe.
Well, and I think that's the thing too, is people should know we're not going to talk about Devon Sawa all the time. We will probably talk about him a lot and find ways to tie what we're talking about to him.
Yeah, like 6 degrees of Devon Sawa, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you can play with Kevin Bacon, you can play with anyone in Hollywood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, do you have any idea how many terrible movies I've watched just because someone I enjoyed watching was in them? I still fucking do that to this day. Sometimes I get surprised because they turn out better than they have any right to be. Like, this is a full tangent, but it's only going to take me like 2 minutes. There was this movie that had Kyle Gallner, who was on the Smallville, and he was in like The Haunting in Connecticut and the new Nightmare on Elm Street. He's kind of like a horror genre staple. He was also in Jennifer's Body. I'm a big fan.
Which one did he play in Jennifer's Body?
Goth Colin, who ended up as Lasagna with Teeth. Yeah.
He's so sad.
Yeah, right. Anyways, I like him. I like the actor Brenton Thwaites, who is on HBO Max as Dick Grayson in Titans and was in Pirates of the Caribbean. He was the son of Elizabeth and Will. I don't know. Whichever one that was.
I've only watched the 3.
And I'm pretty sure Alan Ritchson was in it too, who was recently in Reacher, but was also on Smallville and Titans. Anyways, they play... You think it's like a World War II movie, but it's like a haunting movie and it has this like really interesting twist at the end. Ghosts of War, maybe? I don't know. I watched it and it wasn't like a great movie. It was interesting. And then in the end, I was like, oh my God, this movie has, like, this is much better than I thought it was going to be, and it has any right to be. Congratulations to all of these dudes. Congratulations to you. What is his name? Skylar Astin, also in it, from Pitch Perfect. So it's like a really interesting cast of people, mm-hmm. and didn't get a lot of press or whatever. And I'm like, I watched it, but I've also watched so many terrible movies because my faves were in them. And I sat through the whole thing.
I don't really turn off movies much. I mean, like back in the day, especially. I just like, cause you're like, well, maybe it gets better. I put a movie on. Do you know how rare it is that I actually commit to a movie? We're sitting down and we're watching this. It's only an hour and a half. Like, yeah, I watched that movie where Kirsten Dunst gets transported back to the Holocaust and ends up dying in like a gas chamber. And I'm like, I don't know what this movie is, but she was in it. So I watched it.
Right. It was based on a book. It was based on a book.
And it was fine. But yeah, I also have watched a lot of movies just because someone I love is in it. That is also another 90s girl that we will be talking about, whom I love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't love The Virgin Suicides as a movie, but I did watch it originally because it had Kirsten Dunst and Josh Hartnett in it.
Mm.
I didn't know a goddamn thing about Sofia Coppola. I also love Kathleen Turner, and I think she's a fabulous actress, and she like played the mom in it.
Mm-hmm. Voice of Jessica Rabbit.
And I'm like, that's another movie that I was just like, I would like to nope out of this film so hard. But I did not. I watched it all the way through, hoping it would get better despite the title, which, spoiler alert, if you have issues or trigger warning, I guess, for people unaliving themselves, is not a movie for you.
Yeah.
Hardcore not a movie for
you. I do like that movie. I do not like the book. The movie, you can really tell it's reworked through a sad girl lens, but the books are very much so just feel like from the boy's point of view, even though I know the narration of the movie is. But I will say the biggest thing I took from that movie was after the youngest sister tries to kill herself the first time, the doctor is like, why would you want to kill yourself? You've got so much life to live. And she said, obviously, doctor, you've never been a 13-year-old girl. And I feel that with so many things, not specifically suicide, but like so many things with entertainment and the way people react to stuff like turning red, where it's just like, why are we talking about this? Why are you showing this? And it's like, well, obviously you haven't been a 13-year-old girl or you would understand this.
I feel that a lot with, like, so we kind of grew up in the golden era of teenage movies. Like, She's All That, 10 Things I Hate About You, Never Been Kissed, all of these movies about the high school experience. Oh, we should talk about Lily Sobieski sometime. But anyways, we grew up with all these things. So we had this, like, idealized version of the teenage experience being presented to us that was not at all authentic because, in terms of authenticity and teenage experience, I'm going to say Turning Red and Tina Belcher, they get it right. They get it right. Teenage girls are super weird. Like any kind of monster girl movie where the teenage girl character like turns into some kind of beast. And I'm thinking specifically of Ginger Snaps, but Jennifer's Body also works. Just the teenage experience is weird and hard. And when we were presented with these like polished things that, yeah, I'll still watch them to this day and I'll still enjoy them. But I'm like, it's not really like that. And it was really hard feeling like it should be like that, but wasn't. And then all of the like crush culture stuff on top of it, where it's like, you need to have all these clothes from the teen magazines and your locker has to have just the right crush people on it for you to be socially acceptable. And you can't talk about how much you love the zombie makeup and idle hands because that's fucking weird. Shut up. You know, my neurodivergency is also coming through. Like my ADHD situation is also spilling outwards because it made me feel like really disenfranchised as a teenager. So I held hard and hyperfixated on crush culture because I was like, this is something other people can talk about as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, like it's, yeah, you've never been a 13-year-old girl and they rarely get it right on film or in media, especially like, so many things like The Vampire Diaries and all these different shows that are set in high school where everyone's like 30 actually. And I'm just like, it's weird and it's awkward and it's hard and you have no idea what the fuck is going on. And you're like, I need something that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So many emotions.
This is going to a way deeper place and fully segues away from where we were intending to go, which was just like an appreciation for, you know, having something in the 90s that actually like helped us, I guess, connect with our peers and gave us like something to like look forward to.
Yeah. And it's nice when stuff like this actually was liked for people. Like, I love horror themes and I love kid horror and all that kind of stuff. But Addams Family and Casper were just like both very well received movies. They were like, yeah, this is a fun time for family. And I'm like, you guys also like this? I can talk to people about this without just being immediately the weirdo. Yeah. Can we talk about grief in film?
Like, let's talk about Casper, because if you hear me talk about Hocus Pocus one more time, you're going to kick me out of the car and make me walk home.
Oh, Hocus Pocus. Thor Birch!
Thor Birch, Omri Katz with the same 90s heartthrob haircut. Thank you. Hollywood!
Hollywood!
That guy also aged super well, just saying. Congrats to him. I don't know what his name actually is at this moment in my life, but I've seen him in a couple things and I'm like, is that the, no, no. And then it was. And then like Ernie slash Ice was in a lot of things like Buffy. He continued to have a career where he like played kind of like a douchebag bully a little bit throughout the era.
Yeah. Well, I think guys who look like that basically only got those roles.
Yeah, there's, I mean, we could dig into so many things like stereotypes and how that shaped our perception of people in general. But like, this was supposed to be like a fun giggle talk about media. We've already hit on like being a teenage girl was super weird.
But I think everyone can agree with that, because being a teenage girl was super weird. And I mean, I think that part of that is what ties like all of us together through Devon Sawa, because being a teenager was weird, being a kid was weird, and now we have some real thirsty nostalgia that we want to talk about as grown-ass women.
It's true. It is absolutely true. And Christina Ricci was aspirational goals as Wednesday Addams and Kat. And oh my god, Red Rover.
Now and then, Roberta.
Thank you. Yeah, like she had a cool group of friends in that one that we all wanted to have so we could ride bikes to the next town together without adult supervision. Her house.
Not allowed to do that.
Her house in Casper had a friendly ghost and a sweet ass breakfast machine.
Mm-hmm. And that spiral
right
in the lot in the foyer. I don't even know what that would be, but I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's like a foyer, like an entryway, and they had like a full library. It was a whole situation.
I love me a haunted stairwell. Not necessarily really haunted, but Addams Family. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Their whole entire vibe. Healthiest, most loving couple goals, ugh. Honestly.
Couple goals, for sure. I love them so much. I have like one of those little like Visco girl letterboard thingies. And I put like romantic quotes from them. I have another one lined up, but right now it's the like with you every night is Halloween or something like that. And
aww.
Yeah,
but treat her like she's the most sublime creature on earth. Hello.
Yes,
if you're not watching the Addams Family, like if you are a millennial gentleman who really is interested in anyone, because let's face it applies to all orientations. Just switch out the pronouns of your choice or applicability. Gomez Addams knows what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Gomez Addams absolutely knows what's up. Even to an extent, Fester Addams knows what's up, even though Debbie is the worst.
Yeah, but she would have been so perfect for him. If she could just be happy, they would have, I think, been perfect. If she just accepted that she could be with this family who were like, yeah, be crazy, we love it.
But Debbie, pastels.
Knowing
what we know now, I think Morticia Addams would support Pastel Goth. We get to find out with Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia Addams soon, maybe.
I'm very intrigued by that. We've been watching Encanto a lot. I would blame my child, but it's because of me. Felix and Peppa are a couple in it, and they have this very like Morticia and Gomez like vibe, the way they move with each other and the way he like worships her and the way she's just like her own thing. He kind of reminds me of Luis Guzman. He's playing Catherine Zeta-Jones as Gomez. And so after watching Encanto, I was like, ooh, I'm like very excited about that, but cautiously excited about it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I wasn't necessarily on board for the animated series, though I did think that the casting of Oscar Isaac as Gomez Adams was brilliant. But honestly, we had some formative stuff and we're going to talk about it. So if you've survived this far, welcome. Please continue to listen, like and subscribe. Comments are great. I mean, unless they're super mean.
We don't like that. Think of this before you press send. What would Devin Sawa say?
Right?
Because he probably wouldn't appreciate it for you disrespecting some ladies.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to tell them what we're talking about in the next episode?
Oh, yes. We will be talking entirely about Casper, which we have touched on previously. Follow, like, subscribe, do your thing, give us some feedback, check out episode 2. But thank you so much for listening. And
we're sorry, Devin Sawa.
We are. Yeah, sorry.
We're so sorry.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Can I Keep You is brought to you by the Devin Sawa Appreciation Society. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Can I Keep You Pod. Listen, follow, and leave us a review on the Podbean app or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, we're sorry, Devin Sawa.